Believing in Christ with the head and not the heart is quite common. It is only when we have Christ in the heart that things really begin to happen. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he simply a name, a historical personage, or is he your living, loving Lord? Turning to John, the 8th chapter, there seems to be a lapse of time after verse 20. What our Lord had to say next is an altogether new discourse. He began by making it unmistakably clear that if one were not saved during this life, there would be no hope for salvation after death. Then Jesus said in verse 21, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Again reminds us that this was not the first time Christ expressed this important truth. In John chapter 7, verse 34, he said, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." This is another of the repeated warnings God gives to those who reject or neglect the truth. Our Lord spoke of his death and the death of his hearers. "I go my way," he said. It was not long until the Jews condemned him to die on the cross. But we are assured that his death on the cross had been planned in the counsels of God from all eternity. This was not the way of the Jews in regard to Christ, but Jesus said, "My way." The cross was not an accident, but an incident in the eternal plan of God. After our Lord's death, the Jews would continue to seek for the Messiah, but in vain. Here is a remarkable prophecy continuing in its fulfillment. Thousands of Jews all over the world are still looking for their Messiah without the hope and peace of God, only to die without a saving knowledge of him. Our King James Version renders Christ's words as, "Ye shall die in your sins." The original, however, does not use the plural, but rather sin, probably referring to the sin of unbelief, which bars men and women from heaven. To anyone who refuses to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, his words are still applicable. "Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, because he saith, 'Whither I go, ye cannot come'?" You see, they were blind in their unbelief. Thinking Jesus to be a madman, they thought he would hasten to take his life. Well, Christ said in verse 23, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." Christ is the only person who has ever walked upon this earth who could say, "I am from above. I am not of this world." Yet, in a very special sense, those who become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ should evidence the characteristics of him that is from above. True saints of God who have been born of the Spirit should be in the world, but not of the world. Our Lord reminded his hearers again of the seriousness of their unbelief. He says in verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." A literal rendering of Christ's words is, "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." Point blank, our Lord informed his critics that he was the great I am that appeared to Moses in the ages past. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." I am was a name with which every Jew was familiar. Again, the Lord Jesus declared that he was the eternal God. Now, Christ's statement aroused the ire of his hearers even more as they asked, "Who art thou?" This was not a sincere inquiry on their part, but rather a further vent for their anger, as if they asked, "What do you say? Are you being so ridiculous to claim that you lived in Moses' day?" Quickly our Lord answered them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." He had declared himself to be the bread of life, the living water, the light of the world. What more evidence did they need? Our Lord said in verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. There were many things Christ could have said that would have exposed the hypocrisy and inconsistency of those who profess to be followers of God, but he did not come for that purpose. He came to make known the message he had received from the Father. In using the pronoun him, the Jews understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They could not perceive that this was very Jesus who was standing in their presence, and that he came from the Father. Though he had proved himself by his miracles and his spotless character, they refused to believe. Now, once again, Christ told of his coming death on the cross. I read in verses 28 and 29 where this is made clear. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. After his crucifixion, the Jews would know without question that Jesus had come from God. He did not say they would believe, but simply that they would be convinced. Many were convinced. After witnessing the miracles that took place at the crucifixion, the darkness and the earthquake, but even greater, the miracle of the resurrection, many understood then that Jesus was more than a mere human. But the sorrowful part of it was that though they were convinced, they were not converted. This is a most tragic situation. To know in one's heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and yet to do nothing about it. The Son at no time lived in contradiction to the will of the Father. Likewise, when one truly believes on Christ, he will desire to do always those things that please him. For one to say he believes while walking contrary to the teachings of Christ is to live a lie. Jesus said in John 15:14, Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. When one truly believes on Christ, he becomes a disciple of Christ. Discipleship has to do with discipline. As Christ spake these words, many believed on him, we're told in verse 30. It would seem that this was mere head belief. What our Lord said afterward instructed them as to the nature of true belief. How pitiful it is to see people possessing a knowledge of Christ but neglecting to make any actual commitment to Christ. Yet this is commonplace. People know that Jesus is the Son of God. Many are familiar with the simple truths that are taught in the Word of God, but they have never actually come to the place of submission, claiming Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. Do you happen to be one of these people? If so, let Christ into your heart. Get him out of your head and into your heart, that you may know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and ready to meet God. Heavenly Father, open the eyes of some who have been darkened by sin. We pray that the Holy Spirit may convict of sin, that Christ may be exalted in lives today. For I pray for his glory and in his blessed name. Amen.